Today is the 21st. The 21st day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. Grateful to be here with you today. Grateful as always. Especially in this 20th year, grateful for it. Grateful as always to take another step forward as we gather around the global campfire and find our space in this safe oasis that we create for each other every day by just showing up. I'm grateful that you have shown up today. I'm grateful that I have shown up for today. I'm grateful that we can move forward now. Another step in the book of Ezekiel today, chapters 42 and 43. Then the man led me out of the temple courtyard by way of the north gateway. We entered the outer courtyard and came to a group of rooms against the north wall of the inner courtyard. This structure, whose entrance opened toward the north, was 175 feet long and 87.5 feet wide. One block of rooms overlooked the 35-foot width of the inner courtyard. Another block of rooms looked out onto the pavement of the outer courtyard. The two blocks were built three levels high and stood across from each other. Between the two blocks of rooms ran a walkway 17.5 feet wide. It extended the entire 175 feet of the complex, and all the doors faced north. Each of the two upper levels of rooms was narrower than the one beneath it because the upper levels had to allow space for walkways in front of them. Since there were three levels and they did not have supporting columns as in the courtyards, each of the upper levels was set back from the level beneath it. There was an outer wall that separated the rooms from the outer courtyard. It was 87.5 feet long. This wall added length to the outer block of rooms, which extended for only 87.5 feet, while the inner block, the rooms toward the temple, extended for 175 feet. There was an eastern entrance from the outer courtyard to these rooms. On the south side of the temple, there were two blocks of rooms just south of the inner courtyard, between the temple and the outer courtyard. These rooms were arranged just like the rooms on the north. It was a walkway between the two blocks of rooms, just like the complex on the north side of the temple. This complex of rooms was the same length and width as the other one, and it had the same entrances and doors. The dimensions of each were identical, so there was an entrance in the wall facing the doors of the inner block of rooms, and another on the east at the end of the interior walkway. Then the man told me, "These rooms that overlook the temple from the north and south are holy. Here the priests who offer sacrifices to the Lord will eat the most holy offerings. And because these rooms are holy, they will be used to store the sacred offerings, the grain offerings, sin offerings, and guilt offerings. When the priests leave the sanctuary, they must not go directly to the outer courtyard. They must first take off the clothes they wore while ministering, because these clothes are holy. They must put on other clothes before entering the parts of the building complex open to the public." When the man had finished measuring the inside of the temple area, he led me out through the east gateway to measure the entire perimeter. He measured the east side with his measuring rod, and it was 875 feet long. Then he measured the north side, and it was also 875 feet. The south side was also 875 feet, and the west side was also 875 feet. So the area was 875 feet on each side, with a wall all around it to separate what was holy from what was common. After this, the man brought me back around to the east gateway. suddenly the glory of the God of Israel appeared from the east. The sound of his coming was like the roar of rushing waters, and the whole landscape shone with his glory. This vision was just like the others I had seen, first by the Kabar River and then when he came to destroy Jerusalem. I fell face down on the ground, and the glory of the Lord came into the temple through the east gateway. Then the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner courtyard, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And I heard someone speaking to me from within the temple, while the man who had been measuring stood beside me. The Lord said to me, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place where I will rest my feet. I will live here forever among the people of Israel. They and their kings will not defile my holy name any longer by their adulterous worship of other gods or by honoring the relics of their kings who have died. They put their idol altars right next to mine with only a wall between them and me. They defiled my holy name by such detestable sin, so I consumed them in my anger. Now let them stop worshiping other gods and honoring the relics of their kings, and I will live among them forever. Son of man, describe to the people of Israel the temple I have shown you, so they will be ashamed of all their sins. Let them study its plan, and they will be ashamed of what they have done. Describe to them all the specifications of the temple, including its entrances and exits and everything else about it. Tell them about its decrees and laws. Write down all these specifications and decrees as they watch, so they will be sure to remember and follow them. And this is the basic law of the temple: absolute holiness. The entire top of the mountain where the temple is built is holy. Yes, this is the basic law of the temple. These are the measurements of the altar. There is a gutter all around the altar, 21 inches deep and 21 inches wide, with a curb 9 inches wide around its edge. And this is the height of the altar. From the gutter, the altar rises 3.5 feet to a lower ledge that surrounds the altar and is 21 inches wide. From the lower ledge, the altar rises 7 feet to the upper ledge that is also 21 inches wide. The top of the altar, the hearth, rises another 7 feet higher, with a horn rising up from each of the four corners. The top of the altar is square, measuring 21 feet by 21 feet. The upper ledge also forms a square, measuring 24.5 feet by 24.5 feet, with a 21-inch gutter and a 10.5-inch curb all around the edge. There are steps going up the east side of the altar. Then he said to me, "Son of man, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. These will be the regulations for the burning of offerings and the sprinkling of blood when the altar is built. At that time, the Levitical priests of the family of Zadok, who minister before me, are to be given a young bull for a sin offering, says the Sovereign Lord. You will take some of its blood and smear it on the four horns of the altar, the four corners of the upper ledge, and the curb that runs around that ledge. This will cleanse and make atonement for the altar. Then take the young bull for the sin offering and burn it at the appointed place outside the temple area. On the second day, sacrifice as a sin offering a young male goat that has no physical defects. Then cleanse and make atonement for the altar again, just as you did with the young bull. When you have finished the cleansing ceremony, offer another young bull that has no defects and a perfect ram from the flock. You are to present them to the Lord, and the priests are to sprinkle salt on them and offer them as a burnt offering to the Lord. Every day, for 7 days, a male goat, a young bull, and a ram from the flock will be sacrificed as a sin offering. None of these animals may have physical defects of any kind. Do this each day for 7 days to cleanse and make atonement for the altar, thus setting it apart for holy use. On the 8th day, and on each day afterward, the priests will sacrifice on the altar the burnt offerings and peace offerings of the people. Then I will accept you. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. James 5. Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of Heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience in suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no, so that you will not sin and be condemned. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. Psalm 119, 1 through 16. Aleph. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. Bet. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Proverbs 28, 6 and 7. Better to be poor and honest than to be dishonest and rich. Young people who obey the law are wise. Those with wild friends bring shame to their parents. All right, so we conclude the book, the letter of James today. And as in all letters, the final words, you know, they bring encouragement, they bring closing. But in the biblical letters, they often bring practical postures of life that we are supposed to focus on. And so as we look at James' thoughts, we have to remember he's writing this letter to Jewish or Hebrew brothers and sisters who have been forced to relocate due to like pressure and marginalization, persecution. And so he says, brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Man, like, that's not all he has to say, but that's plenty. That's plenty for us right now. Be patient, brothers and sisters, as you wait for the Lord's return. He says, consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. And you too have to be patient like that. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. So for those reading this letter, for those actually truly facing significant hardship, that is encouragement to keep going, right? To go on. That means that it speaks to each one of us on some level. Because on some level, most of us have reason to give up something. And some things we should, and we must. But weariness and endurance, man, that is an epidemic of the age. We are worn out. We are overwhelmed with the speed and rate at which the world is speeding up, and we are absolutely being slammed. Information overload, but also we are being slammed constantly with marketing. Polls and bids for our attention and for our resources. And so it's beyond human capacity to keep up with. And so on some level, we're all weary enough to give up on just throw our hands up and surrender. And so these words give us reason to go on. Be patient. Be patient. The harvest is coming. as we wait for the Lord's return, we're reminded that there's a process that is happening. Like seed time and harvest, there's a process of growth that is happening that leads from planting to harvesting. And it takes patience and endurance to get between those two. And that is discouraging. Like, that is difficult at times, because we're told with all of this messaging that in some way we deserve instant gratification. But instant gratification usually leads to our complete destruction. Sanctification, right, this process of being set apart as holy, takes time, like a farmer who cannot plant a seed and harvest a crop the next day. So sometimes waiting where we feel like everything is against us, waiting for the tide to shift or the wind to shift so that it's at our back instead of like blowing us over, is discouraging. And that discouragement, we have seen that discouragement throughout the entire Hebrew story as we have navigated the Bible. We've watched the grumbling in the wilderness, right? And we have grumbled in our own wilderness. And James speaks like kind of inviting a reality check. Don't grumble about each other, he says. Don't do it, brothers and sisters. That brings your judgment. Don't do it. The judge is standing at the door. And then some final postures as final thoughts. Are any of you suffering hardship? Well, your first move is to pray. Are any of you happy? Well, then you should be singing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray for you. They'll anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And those kind of prayers offered in faith can heal the sick, and the Lord can make you well and will make you well. And if you've committed sins, you'll be forgiven. In fact, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that all of you can be healed. Because the earnest prayer of a righteous person, that has enormous power and brings incredible results. So it only took us a few days to move through James. But James doesn't leave anything on the table. And it confronts us in a lot of ways on a lot of levels and leaves us with plenty to consider, because James is honest and forthright in a way that we need. And so in response, we should be equally honest and forthright with ourselves, about ourselves, and honest and forthright with God about ourselves, about the necessary changes that have to be made in order for us to line up with this letter, to be doers of the word and not only hearers of the word of God. And so, Father, we thank you for this letter that really comes at a time, at the beat before the year gets insanely busy, at a beat that can catch us where we need it as we navigate the weeks ahead and as we finish strong and move into the new year. Necessary changes to our posture of heart, necessary changes to harnessing the power of our tongues for good and not evil. So, Holy Spirit, lead us on these paths that lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, these are home base. This is where you find out what's going on around here. And right now, we're doing a very special kind of Thanksgiving thing. We've never done before, because this is the 20th anniversary. Usually at Chronological Jill, that's kind of like a what has the Bible meant to you as a way of giving thanks. We're combining our efforts both with Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, this being the 20th year. And so right now, for the next few days, we're inviting the community, all of you, to participate and tell us your campfire story. And then we're going to kind of knit these all together so that we can all sit around the campfire and hear each other's stories. So what is your story? How long have you been around the global campfire? What has the Bible meant to you? What has the scriptures carried you through? What have we as a community walked through together? What has this work meant in your life over however long, like whether you've been here a week or whether you're one of the ones that have been here 20 years? We would love nothing more than to hear your stories. I actually can't wait to hear your stories. And so this works the same as it does when we do the Christmas party every year. It's the hotline in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And the only catch, the only thing, is if you have a prayer request or encouragement, make that separate and call in your campfire story alone, so that we can kind of keep them separate there. Like, there's no way to kind of cut them up. And so, yeah, what's your story over the time that we have had to spend together here around the campfire? Looking forward to hearing from you. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly. Thank you gratefully. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. Or if you have a campfire story, you can hit the hotline button in the app. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. I love you dearly. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
This is James in the beautiful Northeast Georgia mountains. In May, I left a message for prayer for my wife that had esophageal cancer. We are at a point now that she completed her first round of chemo, 4 rounds. And then she had her esophageal ectomy surgery, removed her complete surgery. The scans post-surgery and the surgeon said that she's cancer-free. And currently she has completed 3 of the last 4 chemos that she's to have. So we are blessed that God has answered every prayer. He gets full glory to everything. He is faithful in all areas. So huge praise support. Praise report of his goodness and faith. So thank you for all the prayers, heard and unheard. It's greatly appreciated. Thank you.
This is Saved by Grace in California. Good morning, DAV family. I'd like to pray for the brother who's calling in about his brother who is addicted to marijuana. Father God, we thank you and praise you, God, that you are the restorer of broken things. We thank you, God, that you can do anything but fail. We lift up this brother to you and plead the blood of Jesus over him. We ask, Father, for deliverance and break that chain of addiction that is upon his life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would remove the taste for it from his mouth, from his body, from his mind, soul, and spirit. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd help him see his need for Jesus Christ in his life. I pray, Lord, that he will come to know you in a very special, intimate way. I ask that you would give the brother, the believer brother, the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge, the discernment, Father, and how to encourage his brother and help him. Sustain him, Father, and help him to stay focused on you. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
And Dab family, this is God's Life Speaker. I'm listening to the last caller on November 15th. It's a dad calling in for his daughter in her pregnancy, high-risk pregnancy, and asking us to gather around, as we will and we do, around just her not checking out for her health. But what I thought was so amazing was when you were speaking, sir, the background music, it's so worth going back to listen to this for yourself. Just at the right time, the wind sound that, I think Maxwell does the music for the background. It captured your words and it carried it forward. And it was the wind of the Holy Spirit. Has felt it. Has felt like that's what the message for you, to encourage you, sir, would be. And to know God is in all of this, even with your daughter. And those of us who have been pregnant or who have experienced high-risk pregnancies or miscarriages or things like that, it is the time, far from the current circumstance, that we really can reflect. So just as God put Moses up in the cleft and walked past, there was a wind. And I think the wind is the Holy Spirit just carrying us through these really difficult times. So may you see that, feel that, know the presence of it, and be certain that God is at work in this grandbaby and in your daughter. Heavenly Father, we ask that your hands would carry this daughter through, that you would bless her with good health and security of this baby being healthy. And we thank you that you are at work. We are exceedingly excited for this child, in Jesus' name.
Hi, it's Heather from Tennessee. I'm listening to November 15th. On the end, there was a gentleman who wants prayer for his daughter who has a high-risk pregnancy. And Lord, she just keeps getting bad news. And Lord, I just want to lift that family up to you. God, you know everything that's going on. And I pray, Lord, that you will just encourage her, encourage the families, fix whatever needs to be fixed. I pray, Lord, for the health of the baby, for the health of the mother. Lord, you are preparing this woman for the birth of a child. And Lord, that child is precious to you. And the mother is precious to you and her whole family. And this father who is seeing his daughter go through so much, it's devastating for everyone. And we don't know what's going on. And I pray, Lord, that you will cover this family in blessings and peace and encouragement. Lord, just provide a way where there just doesn't seem to be a way. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in their lives. Just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.